Coming up on this episode, Todd Glass, Alan Turing, Trayvon Martin, the responsibility of freedom, the conservative-liberal disconnect, belieflessness, the philosophical comedy of Jackie Cation, and when could you kill? Welcome to Portlandians. Let's face it, it's a filthy little podcast.
About music.
Comedy.
And revolution.
You're listening to show number 24. This episode may contain
revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the death episode, how U.S. culture confronts death and how that made my friend delete an entire conversation from Facebook, part two. I have a few things I want to tack on to the outro, but for now, let's catch you up and get into the show.
Previously on Portlandians...
So what did we decide? We got the topic... And then I give you a jumping off point
questions.
Or a question or a story.
Sure, questions are fine.
Question.
I think we're more into the questions.
Yeah. What do you think happens when you die? Anybody?
So luckily,
anybody?
So we're starting out with the easy questions.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think anyone who says they know is either selling something or lying.
That's exactly why religion works.
Right.
That's exactly why, you know, in my opinion, any certain spiritual perspective works.
Many times can, you know, actually be, you know, a defect in our own lens or a blind spot in our own lens where we aren't necessarily seeing, you know, the depth of belief that someone else may have and some of the steps they may have come to and worked for to get to.
It occurred to me recently that it's very likely that there's a lot of people in the world who have never considered the fact that they live on a planet that, like, is in a solar system. Like, that they've never actually thought about that. And when I had that moment of realization, I was like, oh my God.
So that was the entire first episode. It was talking about one question. I was lucky enough to go to see one of my favorite podcasts, B-Tape. Really? Really? I was lucky enough to be able to go see the Todd Glass Show, one of my favorite podcasts, get taped live in Portland. Fabulous. Fabulous show. Great time. Check it out. And follow Daniel Kino on Twitter. He's desperate. So they had people from the audience throw in their questions there to be answered on stage. And I was lucky enough to get two of mine in. I think they only answered three or four. I think part of it was I handed them in to Chris Burden. I had met him before the show, so I think maybe you gave me a little, you know, boost to the front of the line, maybe. But check it out. This is them answering the same question.
All right, let's go to some questions from the audience, and we got so much going on today. How many people filled out?
All of them. I think everybody. Yeah, this was amazing, by the way. You guys get an A for audience participation.
Okay.
And we got pictures. And look at this. Of the most creative audience. What happens when you die? Let's start off light.
Chris left. Hold on, I got it. What happens when you die? I feel like I need something. Chris is not here. Hold on. That happens.
No, wait,
what happens when you die?
I want to hear you answer
honestly,
seriously.
What happens when you die?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I don't mind being serious. God knows people know that I don't mind. You've heard my special you've heard my special episodes with Paul F. Tompkins. What happens when you die?
What do you think happens? You don't believe
I believe in serious answer, I don't know. I believe in energies and I believe in a lot of stuff that I don't just because I
can't. Do you think the consciousness that you're experiencing right now will continue to exist after your body expires?
Well, it seems like you're baiting me.
No, I'm
just because I can't grasp what happens when you die, I'm not going to make up a fake reason. I don't know. I I don't know. You could just rot in the dirt. But, no, that's depressing and not funny. Hence the silence from this audience. I'm not sure. I think, I'm not sure. But I do believe in energies, and I think maybe your soul can go somewhere else. I'm not really sure. I don't know who asked that question, but I'm not sure. I know that's not funny, but you know what? I don't mind. The show can be funny. It can be not funny, as long as it's interesting. So I'm not sure what happens when you die. But let me tell you something. I am sure that if there is gates... That's the weird thing about gates that people, that throws me off. I think religious people hurt themselves more than anybody else. Well, there's gates. Really? Because they just picture what's here. Like, there's gates to keep all the riffraff out. You know, like God couldn't just do it with an electrocuted fence that was invisible.
God would still need a fence, though, right?
Well, sure. I think if there's a God, he wouldn't need a fence.
He'd
to
get
keep
a moat at least, right? He doesn't need a fence.
So I don't. I'm not sure, but you know what? I think that I'll be okay. If there is a gate to heaven, I think I'll be okay. So what's the next question? I once met.
All right, so you're up to speed. Got a few things I'm going to talk about in the outro, but I just want to jump in. So here's our guests, so you know what their voices sound like, so you know who's talking.
This is Lauriel Arwin.
I have always said that I would rather be killed than kill somebody, and.
This is Sean.
We're convinced that we have nothing in common with these people because we're forced to look through these lenses that are very divisive. But the reality is, if we can ever get past the memes that have been implanted in our heads over the past 30 years, there's actually a huge, huge amount of overlap.
Oh no,
and agreement.
I agree, and I.
This is Orion. Orion.
It's like the anthropological other, like distrust that.
This is. Hey, take your pick. He's either the Anonolosopher, Bird of Prey, Soldier of Misfortune, or the Philosoraptor.
We have all these perspectives on this one specific issue, right? Where is the truth? That's a crazy thing. That's a crazy responsibility. We now have to sift through this stuff. Many people don't understand that. Yeah. They pick one line. Yeah. They pick one brand. Sure.
Let's pick up with the... My story got cut off before it started. Here it is. Death Episode Part 2.
Sorry, our fearless moderator wishes to speak.
I'm going to bring it back all together with a story. It's part amazing universe, part spiritual connection, part massive worldview differences, and brings it back to death. So, in World War II... The Nazis obviously were at war with England, had something called the Enigma Machine, which is a great name. It's a machine that used code, a more complex code than anyone had ever seen in the world.
Sounds confusing.
It actually changed the code it used every time it issued a message. The Germans and the English thought it was uncrackable, but Churchill had his people collect all the smartest people in England. So it's like mathematicians, chess players, everything. One of them was Alan Turing. Alan Turing solved the Enigma machine. He cracked the Nazi code, and a lot of people still say that he single-handedly ended World War II 2 years early because of that. Fast forward to 1952. He's now a highly respected math professor. He realizes his house has been robbed. So he calls the cops. Cops show up. They're asking him questions about what he thinks happened, what's missing, whatever. And they realize that they have to arrest him. And the reason why is because while they were asking him who he thought stole the stuff, he said that he thought it was an acquaintance of his boyfriend. In 1952 in England, it was illegal to be gay. So they arrest him, convict him of indecent acts or whatever, sentence him to chemical castration, which is based mostly hormonal treatment.
Jeez.
He becomes impotent, he grows breasts, and becomes very, very depressed. Still gay. He's still gay, surprisingly. And some of his writings show that he was actually more depressed, not about that stuff, but about the fact that
now people wouldn't believe his scientific work. They would say, oh, well, he found this out, but he's gay, so it's probably not true. So in 1954, he poisoned an apple with cyanide and ate it in his apartment and left no note. He literally ate the poison apple.
I don't think there was a note necessary.
Right. So fast forward now to 2011. 23,000 people petitioned the English government for a posthumous pardon. And the government denied it. Saying, quote, he was properly convicted. He would have known that in his time what he did was illegal, that his offense was against the law, and he would be prosecuted. So there's that to talk about. Then there's also the update that to modern English. He knew he was wearing a hoodie and that he was black. And he kept wearing the hoodie, and he kept being black. He was punished properly.
Well, now.
What do you guys think about that?
Intense.
Comments?
I did not make that association when I heard the story.
Well, I think it's...
He knew it was against the law.
He couldn't help being who he was.
Should we talk about that for a little bit? Should we talk about Trayvon?
I'm just really angry now.
I know, right? I feel like there's like too much.
Get quiet when I'm angry.
Like too much to say.
Yeah, it's like a several brand new topics.
Well, I started thinking about Turing, like, killing himself, you know, and did not leave a note. And after your synopsis, I thought, you know, I said... A note was not necessary.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty obvious, most likely, yeah.
Yeah, that gets kind of fruity, but he saved my ass back there, so he's all right.
Not bad for a fruit.
Well, I mean,
but kind of what I was going for in those two stories is what we put above death. We're like, well, you know, he killed himself because we criminalized the fact that he was gay. And basically ruined his life. But we're not going to pardon him, though, because he knew it was wrong. And then the Trayvon thing, that there's actual... When it initially happened and he was killed and his parents found out, the police said they couldn't do anything about it because it was self-defense. That's for a fucking court.
Yes.
Right. To determine, that's right.
If it was self-defense or not.
That's right.
You don't just get to say...
Yeah, that's like just calling time
the
out.
The guy is saying, hey, time out,
no, that's,
shock him. Seriously?
That's why the whole don't the stand your ground law is shit.
It's two people. Only one of them gets a say in what the story
was. Yeah, because
the
other one's dead.
You don't just take that... it wasn't a question that he shot
him.
You
just take his word for it, yeah.
Hey, what happened? Oh, he attacked me. Oh, okay. Well, have a good night.
And what does attack serious? And what does attack mean? He looked at me sideways, or or he pulled it out of sight.
There are telephone records of him on the phone with the police,
mm-hmm.
saying, "I'm in my car," and they say, "Stay in your car." And he's like, "I'm gonna go get him," and they say, "Don't follow him."
Yeah.
And then there's another phone record because Trayvon Martin was on his cell phone while he was walking with a girl. And up until a minute before the cops show up and he's dead. He's on the phone with her. He's starting to fight with somebody while he's on the phone with a girl. A high school kid on the phone with a girl is starting to fight with some old dude in a car.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're actually...
That's
what I'm getting at.
It's driving while black. It's driving while black. I mean, you know, it's just the same thing.
Yeah, but I'm just like, you get like, what is wrong with this culture that we say, oh, this guy just murdered a person in the street, but the dude was black.
But he murdered one of those.
What the fuck?
The tougher times get, the more people they would already think this anyway, but the more people want to be like, it's like the anthropological other, like distrust that.
The crazy thing is, though, is that, I mean, it happens every fucking day in this country.
That's right.
And the only reason that, like, I mean, it was, what, over a month before any of us even knew about it? Like, you know, and that was a huge social media campaign to, like, get the information out so that people got angry.
It's the only way you got arrested.
Yeah, nobody was doing anything. I mean, it was just like, you know, every other one of these cases that we see all across the country, or that we don't see. I mean,
there weren't
any of it. Like,
there weren't any charges against this officer until much later, right?
Yeah.
Until, like, the last couple weeks.
Until it became national news.
Until
so
professional
many
basketball players were tweeting pictures of themselves wearing a hoodie and then hashtag Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, just the, you know, I definitely, hopefully, you know, this kid's death will bring light to these issues. I mean, it's so tragic, but there's so many others.
There's been a lot of stories coming out from that, like people who, like, practice law there is like, yeah, South Florida is fucked. This county is so corrupt. These courts are so ineffective.
Hanging chads.
Yeah.
Which I can't even imagine, because here in Portland, it's not like that, and it's still fucked up here. Like, we still see so
We're in a bubble.
But we still see that same kind of stuff happen here.
Institutional racism.
And black kids getting shot and killed, often by police officers, not by other citizens. But it's just crazy.
I think it is. I think it is. You know, it's interesting to say this, but I think it's belieflessness. And it's really funny. It's pretty crazy to have the atheist now saying, I think it's because of belieflessness. But I do. I think that, you know, we have created, you know, contemporary American culture is very interesting in that we have, you know, religions and things that have steeped for thousands of years that are kind of, you know, now, you know, debatable. Now the social structures are not so stringent, regimented. You know, it's like we're supposed to have more flexibility, and in many ways we do. But that also is a slippery slope for moral relativity. And I think that's the unfortunate byproduct of contemporary American culture and its state of moral relativity, is that people can now, you know, justify shooting some kid because he's black with self-defense, or you know, and to be able to sleep at night themselves. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, is that this officer can do this, lie about it, and then sleep at night. He's not turning himself in, being like, I fucked up, or better yet, it never would have happened because he wasn't intimidated because the kid was black. He just knew the kid was black, and it didn't matter.
Well, here's sorry, did I cut you off?
No, it's fine.
Here's the thing. He was not a cop.
Right.
Here's this guy in the street who actually had been fired from his job as a security guard.
He was being too aggressive. That's right. And he'd actually had people press charges on him in the past for it, or something. Or he'd been reprimanded at work or something like that. I remember he had arrested.
He was a self-appointed neighborhood watch.
Self-appointed.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
I'm the boss of this neighborhood.
It's a goddamn libertarian cowboy.
Which is fine. When I'm all for communities taking charge of their own situation and, you know, being a community and coming together to deal with crime and deal with those issues. But when you're just a single person who then is, you know, acting out of a completely ridiculous lens where every black kid you see is automatically a danger.
And if you're gonna community police, you don't do it with guns.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't think the police should have guns at all. So it's not. I mean, I don't think anybody should. But that's not how you deal with anything.
Well, certainly as a community coming together around dealing with crime, I agree that guns should certainly not be the first realm of defense. Absolutely, there should be a lot more steps involved.
Yeah, I don't bike around town with a pistol in my pocket. It's crazy.
This is kind of what you were going into, so I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, it's okay.
But it's right up your alley.
You cut me off anytime, because I need it.
I heard this today. It was a quote by Alice Walker, the author. Mm-hmm. She was being interviewed about the Trayvon Martin case. Quote, "As a country, we are a wreck. And part of that is that we have never looked to see where it was that we went off the trail." Mm. Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems right now.
That's a philosophical statement. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's the erosion of these institutions that have calibrated our moral compasses for thousands of years, and just in the last 200 have kind of evaporated or become something different. And now it's up to us to kind of weigh things and understand the value of altruism, and understand
Yeah, we had institutions that were able to give us the moral direction.
That's
that
right,
was generally good. I mean, it's a different issue, but Michael Pollan talks about this with food culture, is that food culture used to dictate healthy eating patterns. Uh-huh. And we no longer have that. We just have advertisement and fast food and whatever it is that's given. And we just have choice. We just eat what we want. And our American culture gives us no positive direction and how to eat and keep us healthy.
It's standards. We don't have these cultural institutions anymore. We don't know how to take care of ourselves because they gave us guidelines for a long time, for generations. Like, it was just assumed this was your reality. Like, you just assumed heaven and hell. You just assumed these things.
Which, unfortunately, is what conservatives point to as the problem with our country. And on so many levels, I agree with them, but in a totally different way.
Yes, we did lose this piece.
Well, we now have this responsibility. With all that freedom comes responsibility. We have to fucking learn.
Most conservatives would agree.
I think, pretty much everyone... A different definition of freedom.
Yeah, everyone,
it's freedom for me having to give a shit about anybody else.
Well, that's not necessarily true. That's definitely not necessarily true.
With the neocons, yes, it is. That's what capitalism is all about.
Sure, but neocons is a very small proportion.
That's true, but they are the most loud.
That's like saying those crazy, Stalinist leftists.
Unfortunately, how many leftists are Stalinists?
Almost nobody.
Yes, that's true. Unfortunately, they are the ones who are at their height of power right now, and that's
so
we're trying to influence so much. So that's the voices that people hear the most,
right?
And the ones that are heading up the so-called left in this country are basically the same.
Thank you.
Little different.
I agree.
Yeah. Very.
They say all the right things.
They say better than
you know. I'm going to say this really differently and then do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone recognizes that there is something wrong. There's just a wide disparity in how they want to get there.
And I think that when we look at the mainstream media and we look at the lenses that are out there, they are set up specifically to keep us apart. Right. Like you said, You agree with so many parts of what your conservative brothers and sisters, to use the term, American term here, we're convinced that we have nothing in common with these people because we're forced to look through these lenses that are very divisive. But the reality is, if we can ever get past the memes that have been implanted in our heads over the past 30 years, there's actually a huge, huge amount of overlap.
Oh no, I agree, and I actually I'm not meaning to sound arrogant, but I don't actually think that I've been too influenced by mainstream American culture because I've had a very different upbringing than most people.
Okay.
But I don't. I think that. I do see so many similarities, and I always have. I mean, half of my family is super, super mainstream conservative, and we have Thanksgivings together, and it's fine.
Totally.
Like, we're human beings. But I don't know how to deal sometimes with it. I agree with, family values is a big one. I'm like, yes, we have lost family values in this country. But not in the way that they see it.
It's the lenses, as you were saying. It's how you're right. These are things that we're all irked with. We're all like, oh my God, our moral compasses are spinning, right? We're all seeing that. The lefty's seeing that. The Christian conservative is seeing that. And we're all like, You know, they say we want these institutions, and we say, well, what do? Well, where we are is more dangerous, but it's the only place where you can really go, because you can't go back to those same institutions and expect them to save you now that we've moved beyond that.
Right.
Now comes the part where we're exercising our reason and our ability to critically think about the world. We've never been presented with as much media or as much information as we now have at our disposal. 10 years ago, we had a fraction of what we have now, right? Where's the truth? We have all these perspectives on this one specific issue, right? Where is the truth? That's a crazy thing. That's a crazy responsibility. We now have to sift through this stuff. Many people don't understand that. Yeah. They pick one line. Yeah. They pick one brand. Sure. They adopt it just like they used to those traditional cultural institutions. They're now adopting these brands. Now they're Nike people. Now they're McNuggets people. What the fuck ever, you know?
Right.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, that's what my parents are doing. Like, you open their web, their internet, and their first page, their home page is Fox News, okay? Yeah. Like, their minds, and I can see how their minds are twisted by it. I can see my mother living in this white, suburban Baton Rouge, Louisiana, scared of black people. It's fucked up. I realized it was fucked up when I was a kid. That's why I left.
Although I would say that on the left, we have a much more subtle but equally powerful set of lenses that are pretty twisted.
Oh, we do.
Well, so here's how I decide if someone or something I'm hearing is legitimate. And this is like, this is my filter. Is it compassionate? Mm-hmm. Is it loving? Does it make the world a better place? Does it understand our like true humanity of you know, each other? And so I'll take liberal information, conservative, any of it, and put it through that filter of like, is it loving and compassionate? Like, does this make the world a better place? And if the answer is no, then I don't really care what they have
The fact that you have a filter in place and that you run it through that filter is what I'm talking about. That's the important mechanism. It gets better the more we use them. But that's unfortunately what people don't know to have.
Sure. Although there are, first of all, I agree with you, and I feel the same way. But I do feel that many times, so our paradigms can be so different, right? Like, and I think the liberal conservative paradigm is such a clear version of this, right? Like, you have, you know, somebody who's more on the left, like myself, who I see things through that lens as well. Like, is it compassionate? Will it make the world a better place, right? You have this. Starting from a place of idealism. But then you have the other side, which is more the conservative perspective, and that is this going to fuck shit up? Is this going to make it worse than it already is, right? And so it's a different filter. It's not necessarily a lack of compassion sometimes. It's just a different way of looking at it. It's like, man, it's already so screwed up. I don't want to see it get worse.
I don't want to gamble.
How do we prevent it from getting worse, right? And this is the difference in worldview that I've seen in my family when we're talking about these things. And it's very challenging to get past that initial starting point. It's very hard.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you bring it back to death. Like, I have no idea if I was actually faced with a scenario what I would do. But I have always said that I would rather be killed than kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that.
I think anyone in their right mind ought to.
The person was a total asshole and I knew it as they were trying to kill me, I might try to kill them. But for the most part, I don't ever, because I don't believe that there's a heaven and hell, because I don't believe that like there's some horrible spiritual consequence for this life, I'm like, all right, fine, I'm going to go back into the ether of the universe. I don't, in this world, which is all real and different than that, I don't want to be that. I don't want to contribute to that.
Yeah. Can I add a layer of complexity?
Yeah.
What about defending someone you love?
Again, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nightmare.
I agree.
It's a nightmare.
Complex.
Do you know if you could live with yourself after killing someone else?
I think that as I'm clearly not a mother, and I may never be a mother.
That's the question.
Guessing if I was a mother, I would probably kill for my kids. I don't know, but that's every mother I've ever talked to has said that, so I imagine that that's how you feel. So yeah, I mean, I don't put it past myself. I just...
Sure. Yeah.
I really... Like,
that's like a whole nother like room.
Yeah. August, you mentioned something before about how that Alice Walker quote was very philosophical, which I agree with. Took a couple philosophy classes, and learned a little bit. But one of the things that I really took out of it was, wow, a lot of the comedians that I listen to are just spouting philosophy on stage, and they're some of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm gonna have two quick ones here. This is Jackie Cation, who we went to see, and it's paraphrased. I didn't get the exact quote, but she's like, people ask me if I'm pro-war or anti-war or whatever, and I usually say I'm against hitting. So everything above that, pretty much against that too.
That's nice.
Which is the most? It's totally silly and funny, but at the same time, it's like, well, fucking of course. How could you be against, like, slapping a child? And they'd be like, oh, you can just, like, shoot people with a gun. That's fine. All day.
When I was a kid, and kids would beat each other up in the playground, I used to think to myself, one day I'm going to be an adult, and this shit will stop.
Really?
Yeah. And then I became an adult, and I was wrong.
Well, and there's lots of adults that think it's okay to hit children, so, it, like, it's fucked up.
Well, I was my mama hit me, so why should my son have any different?
Right?
So I wanted to get to the, I have two, Jackie Cation was the first one, I wanted to get to some Greg Proops. I want to play a clip for you, or a couple of clips from you later, for you later. But first I want to get into the story of how a quote-unquote friend of mine deleted an entire conversation from of ours on Facebook. And that person also became the only person who I've ever deemed it necessary to utilize the button labeled unfriend. Which was actually later on. It was after the delete. It was like a year after the deletion. But no names. I'm going to cross that out so I don't say it. And this happened a year ago, and I feel like I'm finally either pissed off or comfortable enough or just found a reason to use it. But I also saw this headline on the Oregonian today.
I do.
Huh? You want me to do what to you? You want to do a break?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a break. We'll come back. Start with this.
Yes.
Because it's a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes a sec.
Okay.
Great.
Right. It's just that everyone's always talking, so it's hard to...
Yeah. I know.
We're a chatty bunch.
It'd be good to do a save break for a paranoid guy like me, too. Watch it.
Meow.
Oh, sorry.
Teaser alert.
I think I just got my picture taken for fucking Google Earth or some shit. What is that spinning thing on those cameras? Creepy. Okay. So guys, I don't know if you remember last time I talked about setting up a poll to figure out what the Anonilosopher's new name would be. Apparently he doesn't like that name, but doesn't want to use his real one. So I made up a name for him. Decided to put that name up with a new name that I came up with, and two names that he came up with, I think as a joke. So yeah, the poll. Put the poll up. Now we're gonna do the results. Soldier of Misfortune, which is one of the names my guest came up with for himself. 0%. Just so you know, I'm rounding these up. The Anonilosopher, the original name that I came up with for this aforementioned guest. 17%. Bird of Prey, another one of the ones that my guest came up with for himself, 17%. Oh. Which means that the new name I came up with for him, the Philosoraptor, in a landslide victory, comes away with 67% of the vote, people. Come on.
That's not even a question. At least that's what I thought. And then I thought back to the original argument he made, which was not that he didn't like the name, but it was that he didn't come up with it himself. Which leaves me with the option of either going with Bird of Prey as his name from now on, or saying, hey, you don't want to use your name, I get to make up whatever the hell one I want until you decide to use your name. It's like a little bonus for people that want to actually put their name on it, you know? Put your name on it. That comes from Jay Moore's podcast. Sorry about that. Jay Moore. Rest in peace. So, what I've decided to do is make up another poll. To be fair, because I don't want my guest to not be on the show, but I also don't want to reward him for changing his name midstream a year into the show and not using his real name to begin. So what I'm going to do is come up with another poll, and that one's going to be between just two names. Bird of Prey, only two choices. Bird of Prey, the name that he came up with for himself, which only got 17% of the vote. The name I came up with for him, which is the Velociraptor, which got 67% of the vote. The fact that I'm doing another poll at all, I think, shows that I'm a good person. And I think you should include that in the comments. So the choices being, should he get to name himself, even though he doesn't want to use his own name? Or should I punish him for not using his own name by making up yet another name for him, which I actually think is better than the first one I made up, and which actually won the poll to decide which name. But the original problem was that he didn't want someone else to pick his name. We'll see. Although I don't think Bird of Prey was really a serious idea.
Because he said it like this.
Bird of Prey.
So here's what we can do. Put the poll up and leave comments on this post. Very easy to do. Go down to the bottom of the post. There's comments. If not, click on the title of the post, and that'll take you to the actual post page. What a perfect transition into plugs. That was totally seamless. I didn't even have to use the theme song. Which is...
Plugs.
Okay, so if you click on the title of the post, it'll take you to the post page, which has the share buttons. You can share it on Twitter, Stumble, Pinterest, Dig, all kinds of shit. Check it out. Reddit. And you can also leave a comment. And this is what I want to do. I'm going to have the poll plus a comment. So vote and then explain yourself. Also, let's go into the usual plugs. Go to iTunes, search under podcast for Portlandians, rate it, like it. Also, there's a link on the Portlandian site to a place where you can buy some of my music. You can listen to it first, even. You can buy it per song. Go to portlandians.com. On the sidebar on the right, there's a bright yellow donate button. Come on, $5? $5. What are you going to do? One fucking latte.
You've had to listen to plugs.
And we're back. I sent out a bunch of emails to places that I thought would be possible plug candidates? Sponsor candidates for my podcast. Because, you know, I don't want to keep losing money on this. Be nice to actually make a living doing something I like for, you know, the first time in my life. So I sent out some emails to places that I thought would be good sponsors. Mostly local businesses, some not local. Some national, some international. Some of, really? You have to turn that vehicle on when I'm within a couple of block radius of you. You too. Here comes the Orkin man. Yeah, floor it. Thank you. Okay. So yes, sent the emails out. Mostly got no responses or some like polite, yeah, you're too small. Stumptown Coffee. I shouldn't even be saying their name because they are not a sponsor. But there's this one girl, Crystal. I'm not going to murder her last name because I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. Looks like it's possibly Italian. She works at Stumptown. She got my email. She sent me an email back, says, look, we can't sponsor you right now. All our sponsors, our sponsorships are booked. Which, that might be a nice way of saying it's not worth it. Which is fine. It's a nice way to say it, at least. So there's that. She actually sent me back saying, hey, we can't sponsor you right now, but how about a bag of free coffee? Which, it's pretty damn good coffee. I can't complain. So thank you, Crystal. Stumptown, not so happy with you. So in lieu of a new sponsor, this show will continue to be brought to you by my need for people to listen to me and my belief that I have something interesting to say. I just sounded like I was doing a bad Obama impersonation. It shows brought to you by... This is Obama. When he was growing up in Chicago before he got rid of his accent. So, this show's brought to you by my need to have people listen. And it's also brought to you my belief that I got something to say. I don't know what that was, like Chicago, York. Going forward. It's a couple of quick things, and then we're out. Kind of ragged on the Brits a little bit. One thing I will say is that they have a hell of a better media. Which I'm going to show you by this clip from BBC News about the brutal crackdown by the Assad regime.
Well, NewsHour's guest presenter today, Jeremy Paxman, has been speaking to the British Foreign Secretary William Hague about the situation in Syria.
Foreign Secretary, how much longer are you and your friends going to sit on their hands while this man murders his own citizens?
Well, of course, we're not sitting on our hands. We regard this situation as totally unacceptable. We've said Assad should go and his regime has lost legitimacy. We've agreed many tough sanctions in the EU. For instance, we've stopped the sale of all Syrian crude oil into the EU. That's 95% of that oil.
That doesn't take effect until November, does it?
No, it takes effect now, except for existing contracts, which run out by the middle of November. So a lot of that has stopped
already.
The point
is, it hardly seems very serious.
I think that is quite serious for the regime, because that's 25%.
Well, then why not impose it on all dealings with Syria now?
Well, we've steadily imposed more and more sanctions, but we have to act with international authority and legal authority, and that requires bringing other countries with us.
That involves compromising with people who will legitimise a man with blood on his hands.
Well, it involves working through international institutions. One of the advantages...
It doesn't stop you taking a moral stand.
Well, we're joined now from Damascus by Dr. Boutena Shaban, who is President Assad's political and media advisor in that city. Dr. Shaban, how much longer do you think that the regime will carry on killing people?
So it's not all bad. Unfortunately, that is from last September, which is a year ago, which means that has been going on in Syria for over a year. So that's awful. However, the reporter gets my salute. Here's another thing. End on a good note. Let's check it out. Maybe it cheers you up. I'm going to give a couple of links. I'm going to give a link to the scientist who does the study, so you can see his creds. And I'm also going to give a link to a HuffPo article on this. So here's the headline. Intelligence study links low IQ to prejudice, racism, and conservatism. Check it out. Tune in next time for Death Episode Part 3. And you'll hear the story of why my friend deleted an entire conversation we had on Facebook. Talk to you soon.